holistic, healed in every way, body, soul, and spirit. I wanted to open class tonight. I want to hopefully provoke a response and some thoughts from you. If a person lives for the Lord Jesus Christ their whole life, baptized in the Holy Ghost, lives that life with their faith in the cross, but yet they contract some type of physical sickness or disease, and they pass from this life on to glory, should that, or should we be able to say about that person that their faith was not where it ought to have been because the Lord took them home? What do you think about that? Deb? That's good. Go ahead and speak into the mic there.
He knew he would have known that that person and would allow it for a reason. He has a reason that we most of the time don't know.
Well, that's good, Deb.
What the answer is.
So you would say that no, that doesn't detract from that person's faith at all. That's good. That's good. Did I see a hand up somewhere else, Mike? Did you have a hand up? Okay. There's somebody over here. I thought I saw somebody move over here. Okay. Well, what Deb just said is so very, very true. And again, we need to bring out, when we look at healing and the healing that God brings to us, again, it can't be overstressed. Two things you have to remember, and Deb hit on one of them, the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. That means he gets to choose, him being God, without consulting with us as humans on when he's going to do what he's going to do. But number two, if that person, the very second an individual places their faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ for their right standing with God, that person is healed throughout all time and eternity. Therefore, that person laying on the bed who is a Christian, maybe their body riddled with cancer, and they're declaring, I'm healed. I'm healed. Don't laugh at them. They're not being foolish. They are healed. That's why the scripture where we left off last week here in Isaiah 55, notice, or 53 and 5, notice how it's written. By his stripes we are healed. The idea, of course, it wasn't the stripes themselves, it was Jesus sacrificing himself and allowing those stripes to be put on his back as the penalty. That's why the same verse says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, the price paid for you and I to have peace with God was paid by what Jesus was going to do on the cross. But notice the tense that this is written in Isaiah 53:5. By his stripes we are healed. That's a present tense statement. It's present tense in the Hebrew. Isaiah wrote with such an anointing of the Holy Ghost upon him, and the Holy Ghost transmitted it this way by design, that when he penned those words in the Old Testament, even though Jesus had not taken on the form of man, he had not become incarnate man yet, it was written with such certitude as if he already had. Now, to me, that's powerful. By his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. Meaning that faith in Jesus Christ heals us for all of eternity, and we have peace with God exclusively because of his shed blood, in which there was no sin whatsoever. You know, oftentimes we talk about the blood, but we can't overemphasize it enough. I know it's ugly and it's gory to think about. Blood, 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 but it was perfect. The Bible says there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood in the Old Testament. And when Isaiah wrote this, it was written by design of the Holy Spirit to be written with such certitude that it was just as sure as if it had already happened. By his stripes, we are healed. So that person laying in the bed who may be sick and dying, but yet they're still confessing, I'm healed. They are. They're not being foolish. They are. That's, to me, that's a strong faith. I shared with you, I believe last week, the story of Brother Bob when he went home to be with the Lord. Bob King. And what a faith he had. He knew where he was going. He was certain of where he was going. And what I'm trying to bring out is, once again, our healing is eternal. And it is settled. You know, these bodies are going to wear out. There's going to, I don't care who you are, unless the rapture happens. Now, I'd love to go by way of the rapture. I'll be honest with you. Wouldn't you? How many would love to go by way of the rapture? Not have to go by, that's exciting and thrilling, isn't it? I mean, to just think we're sitting here a nanosecond from now, we'd be looking over, and there stands the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Woo! Man, don't you feel that? I just felt a rush of the Holy Ghost over the whole place. Hallelujah! Yeah, I'd like to go that way, but there's going to come a time if we don't go by way of the rapture. No matter who we are, unless we go by way of the rapture, the Lord is going to heal us by taking us home to be with Him. Now that we don't know when that is. And we don't know His sovereign will in every case. That's why we should always pray and believe for our sick brothers and sisters. You know, some defeatist people would look at this and just say, well, why pray for anybody then? Well, because we don't know the mind of God. And there's something about, glory to God, I feel this. There's something about praying for one another in the name of Jesus. That even if the Lord does not heal us physically, it is so powerful and does the human soul and spirit so much good to have other Holy Ghost-filled believers around them praying for them. I don't care how sick you are, it's going to make you feel better. Amen? How many times have you been really sick? And I mean, maybe the Lord didn't come down and instantly transform that situation. Now, I know we've all had times, I believe we could all testify of times, when man, we were sick and the Lord came down and touched us and healed us instantly. Amen? There have been other times, haven't they? When He didn't do it instantly. But I'm here to tell you how good it makes me feel in my soul and spirit when I hear my brothers and sisters with their hands on me at times when the Lord didn't do it instantly, just to know and hear them and to feel their faith. That is uplifting in and of itself. So that's why we pray for the sick. We should always pray in faith, believing, because what Isaiah 53:5 says, by His stripes we are healed. Present tense. We should view that scripture the same way it was written. And it's not foolishness. Now here's where the faith teachers take it one step too far. Okay? They want you to confess, yeah, by His stripes, you're healed. You're healed. But they expect every time, you should see if you keep saying that enough, just by the mere force of you repeating the scripture enough, that your faith will eventually become so that it will force God to do that for you. And God is sovereign. Man never backs God into a corner to make Him do anything. Now, God will always honor His word. But we're poor, pitiful, mortal humans who don't understand everything He's doing nor why He's doing it. And you don't find it in the word of God. Where man, and they love that scripture, and the reference escaped me right now, where it says, I think it's in the same book of Isaiah, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. You know, I've heard them teach it to where, you know, you should command God to do things for you. No, you're a fool. If you're praying that way, you're a fool. And you need to be praying for God's mercy and lightning don't strike you, okay? Because if you study that scripture in its proper text, it's God questioning man in a very authoritative way, saying, concerning what I do you think you can question me? That's really the way the scripture's written. It's not giving us some kind of carte blanche to go around commanding God to do things because we're little gods. Now, that's how they teach it. And that is really, that will cause healing to not take place. Why? Why is that? Because there's faith in another Jesus and another gospel that they've created when you're believing that way. And God simply will not honor it. God will not honor it. But when we look at it in its proper context, we can be lying on our deathbed and say, I'm healed. By His stripes, we are healed. When you're drawing your last breath, you can say it and be 100% scripturally correct. Because God's going to heal you by giving you an eternal body that's never going to grow out or grow old. It's never going to grow out either. Praise God. Praise God. Like the old song says, I've said it 1,000 times, I'll have a new body. That's shouting time for me when they start singing that song. But praise God, we will. We'll have one that's never going to grow old, never going to wear out, never going to be able to even contract a disease or a physical malady of any kind. And when God takes you from this life to the next, that's exactly the kind of body you get. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Never going to wear out. That's why you can confidently say, by His stripes, we are healed. We are healed. Now, bear in mind, this was the Old Testament here, written before the coming of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, let's go to 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Begin reading there. Now, we're going into the New Testament after post-Calvary. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. And the idea there is that not that we follow His steps to suffering, or God's telling us we have to suffer. The idea, His suffering in our place is what we are to follow by placing our faith in what He did for us that we can never do for ourselves. Going on to verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. I think that's so beautiful. He threatened not. When He suffered, He threatened not. One of the greatest proofs to me that Jesus was who He said He was is that in His earthly ministry leading up to Calvary, how many times that He proved through miracles, healings, physical healings, and miraculous situation controlling the elements and the wind and the seas, how many times He proved what power He possessed. And here it's shown through so beautifully, I believe, His perfection. Because, man, you let somebody even look like they're going to hit me and I'd want to pronounce divine judgment on them. If you had that kind of power. Now think of it. Us being fallen, sinful humans. I don't care how Christ-like you may be. After so much pain, if you have the power to do so, you're going to inflict and unleash all the power you've got on your enemy. Carla's laughing, but ain't that true? Now, I know I'm ashamed to admit, even as pastor, there have been times before I wanted to knock people's lights out. And I've had to catch myself, and I've had to repent over that several times. Because you may not know it, but on certain situations, your pastor's got a bad temper that the Holy Ghost needs to keep in check. And there have been several times, man, I've just thought, throw caution to the wind, I'm going to punch this person's lights out. Lose all sanctification and all spiritual decorum and everything. I've had to go back and tell folks, those that I wanted to hit and those that I was threatening to hit in front of, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I got in my flesh and messed up there. But Jesus, allowed them to lay him on that cross and allowed them to put the stripes on his back. He had all power. He could have turned and looked and said, all die. And the whole city of Rome would have fallen dead. That's the kind of power he had. That is the kind of power that was in him. The Bible says when he was reviled, he didn't revile back. When he was made to suffer, he just kept on speaking blessing. What a proof that he was who he said he was. That he was more than man. Because there's not a man outside of him that's ever been born that would have taken what he took, having the kind of power that he had, and not wrongfully used it against his enemies. And some historians, sometimes that History Channel is real good, and sometimes they're just a bunch of kooks on there, especially when it comes to spiritual stuff, you know. I remember one day they was having some kind of show about, is the Bible real, or something about, is Jesus, was he the Son of God, or something like that. And they were on there talking to some professor from some dry school of theology in some part of New England somewhere. I wonder if he could find the book of Genesis if he had to. But he was pontificating on this very issue of Christ's sufferings. And he said, well, do you know the reason he was crucified? Was he ran afoul of Roman law. I thought, where on earth did this joker get this from? Because he was perfect. Jesus was perfect. And he said, so he was forced into this crucifixion due to him breaking Roman law. I thought, you fool. I thought, you are an educated idiot, mister. Nobody put him on that cross. He allowed them to. He had the kind of power that he could have spoke even from the cross. And he said it himself and called down legions of angels to destroy this world and to stop his suffering. But he did it because he knew we needed healing. He knew all of humanity needed healing, and he knew he was the only one who could provide it. He willingly gave his life as a sacrifice. Don't ever let anybody tell you Jesus was forced to the cross because he broke some kind of law or Jewish law. No. He willingly gave his life as a sacrifice. Okay, let's go on. I got to get to where I intended to go, or where I believe the Lord wanted me to go. Verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You notice that? In Isaiah, we had present tense. By his stripes ye are healed. And here in 1 Peter post-cross, post-resurrection, the Holy Spirit reiterates and confirms it in a beautiful way and tells us, by his stripes ye were healed. Hallelujah. Something will help you, I believe, in your Bible. If you're ever reading it, and you'll notice this. The entirety of the Bible, from Genesis up to the point Jesus died on the cross, every prophecy, every situation, every narrative in that book somehow points to what Jesus would do on the cross. Points toward it. After his death on the cross, the entirety of the Bible, in some form or fashion, points us back to what he did on the cross. What he did on the cross is the central theme of the Word of God. So that's why Isaiah wrote it, by his stripes we are healed. Even though he had not come yet, it was a certainty. It had been settled in the portals of the glory in the eons past, in the mind of God, that he would send Jesus to die on this cross for us. And after Jesus ascended and paid the penalty on the cross, everything else points back to what he did on that cross. By his stripes, we were healed. Praise God. Praise God. So that's why you can always speak in faith, you're healed. I don't care if you don't have no legs and you're saying, God's already healed me and given me legs. People may look at you like you're an idiot, but there's coming a day, hallelujah. There's coming a day, glory to God, that you're going to have legs. Let me give you a perfect example of what I'm so stumblingly trying to bring tonight. My dear friend Lauren Larson, he and I was out to lunch one day, and we was talking about divine healing. And I just love to hang out with Lauren, that he'd even conversate with me. Just thrills me to death, because I think he's one of the most brilliant Bible scholars in the world. And for God to have put this man in my life and made him a friend of mine and allow me to talk with him, I'm still in awe of it. But we're sitting there talking about divine healing one day. It was at Copeland's restaurant, having cheesecake. Now, you can't get more spiritual than that. It's tough to get a more spiritual climate than that. But we were talking about divine healing, and he said, you know, there's been people that have told me, you know, Lauren got his one hand caught in a printing press. I believe everybody knows him here tonight, you know, knows that he cut off most of his hand and fingers on his right hand. And he looked at me and he said something that first I thought, Lauren, I don't know about that. He said, Greg, I'm telling you, I'm fully expecting and believing God, because he's promised me one day, he's told me personally, that one day he's going to do it. That on this right hand of mine that you're looking at now, there's going to be a hand and finger sprout out of it. Hallelujah. And he believes that. Ask him about it. He'll tell you. He's not shy about it. He don't care if you laugh at him, think he's a nut. He'll tell you. I am fully expecting one day, maybe in a church service, maybe even while I'm preaching, maybe when I'm praying for somebody else, boom, 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 for fingers to start popping out on my hand. But he said, the Lord's told me he's going to do it, and I'm believing him for it. He said, I want to see it happen in this life, and I'm believing him for it. But he said, but one day it's going to happen. I know that. Now, that's faith. That's faith, and one day it is going to happen. You know, I wish it would happen down here on planet Earth. I'd love to see the Lord do that for Lauren. He's a wonderful man. Wonderful man of God. But there is coming a day that illustrates exactly the crux of our lesson tonight. One day Lauren's going to get that hand. All those fingers are going to pop out on it. Hallelujah. But what faith to believe God for it in the here and now and keep on believing God for it when it ain't happening. When he hasn't seen the manifestation of it yet. But it's coming. Of that he is sure. Now that is faith, folks. That is proper biblical faith in the realm of divine healing. It's a confident assurance that God's going to do it. But we just don't know when sometimes. That's why we are to pray for the sick. That's why we're to believe for the healing of our own bodies in whatever way we need. Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And in that, the reason I've taken the time to teach this, here's what we're all coming down to now tonight, is that we should rejoice in the Lord, knowing that his promise is true, that these bodies are going to be one day 100% healed. He has promised that. Absolutely. It's going to happen. Your healing is on the way. Let me say it better than that. Your healing has already taken place in the mind of God. If you're placing your faith exclusively in what he did for you on the cross, we've read it from the Old Testament tonight, we've read it from the New. By his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes, we were healed. Hallelujah. It's a surety, it's a certitude, your divine healing is. And we should pray and believe that way whenever we pray for the sick. And if we don't see the immediate manifestation of it, we keep on praying. Now, this guy turned into a kook. I'm not even going to say his name. He was a famous faith healer. God really used him, I believe, in his early ministry. I think he was used mightily by God, but he got off into all kind of wild doctrines. But while God was really using him, the media had him encircled one day, and you know how they can be over anything about God. And they said, Brother so-and-so, you know, does everybody get healed in your meetings? And he said, no, they don't. And they said, well, what do you say? to the person, when you pray for them, they don't get healed. He said, I look at the next one and I say, next. Now think of that. What's he saying? He's saying he's believed for that person. Maybe the manifestation didn't take place at that point in time, but hey, I need to go on to the next person in the line. I prayed for this one now. A lot of sense in that to me. Next. I thought that was a good answer. And they quit asking him questions after that, he said. But that's proper faith in the realm of divine healing. I've never prayed in the last 5 or 6 years anyway. Before then, I prayed a lot in doubt, just hoping God would do something because I didn't understand faith and his promises the way I should have. I thought everything had to be done in the here and now, and bless God, if it didn't happen, zappo, right now, well, I just didn't have the faith, or I didn't pray right, or I'm just not at a spiritual level where the Lord will use me in that way. But over the past 5 or 6 years, tonight when we prayed for Deshaun, Phyllis, I'm fully expecting. I prayed that fully expecting to hear that his stomach is going to come, going to be all right. And in the name of Jesus, it is. We can believe that way. That's faith. Even though faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the Bible says. Great Hebrews 11:1. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the same way in the realm of divine healing. We don't know when God will do it. We don't know how God will do it. But here's the thing that the Bible promises us, though. God says, I will do it. By his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes, we were healed. Praise God. That's an assurance. In Old and New Testament, that's an assurance. That one day in his time, he's going to do and fulfill in totality that promise. And that's what we must keep on believing and keep on praying for in the face of insurmountable odds. And then there's no loss. There's no defeat if God chooses to take a person on home to glory. As long as that person knows him as their Savior. There's no defeat in that. That's victory day for them. It's hard for us to understand. It's like we talked earlier. We want to go boy of the rapture. You know? Because then there's, you know why we like the rapture so, and the thought of going to rapture? I'm going to tell you. Us being the humans we are, there's immediate certainty in the rapture. You know what? It's scary to think of going by way of the grave, ain't it? It is, unless you know Jesus. And even then, let's be honest. Anybody in here not afraid of a little bit of... We all know what's going to happen. We know God's promises are true, but we have a very imperfect faith in these mortal tabernacles. But although it's imperfect, here's the good news. Jesus said it don't take a lot. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, hallelujah, that'll get us healed and get us to the portals of glory, even though we might be a little bit afraid of, because we don't know. It's the unknown. See, if the rapture happens, we're translated immediately into the known. You know, we're expecting that, ain't we? The Bible teaches that. Hey, and I'd love to go that way myself. And I'll be honest with you. I believe we're going to get to. Unless, you know, something tragic happens unexpectedly to most of us in the building tonight, I believe we're going to go way of the rapture. Praise God. Praise God. That's known. That's why we shout about it. But now nobody shouts, bless God, you're going to die in your physical body and God's going to take you home to glory. Ooh, well, Pastor, okay, if you... You get me? But faith says, by his stripes, we were healed. By his stripes, we are healed. Praise God. Praise God. I hope you got that simple, beautiful truth. I feel I've stumblingly taught it, but thank God for the Holy Ghost. He'll put it through to you, even when I don't put it good. Any other questions or comments tonight before we close? You got a pretty good, hopefully, understanding of divine healing now and what it's all about. It does involve the healing of the physical body, and it also involves the healing, the greatest healing of our eternal soul and spirit. And what God promises and when he gives it are two different issues, but he will give it. That's the part we got to focus on. He will do what he said he'd do. He may not do it in the time and in the manner we personally would prefer it, but that's his sovereignty. If you just keep your faith in him, pray for your brothers and sisters when they're sick. You're going to build them up and you're going to see God heal people. Yes, Paula.
I was flipping through the channels and there was a Christian doctor on this and he was testifying and he was this guy came in with a heart attack, a massive heart attack, and they worked on him and he died. And this Christian doctor pronounced him dead, you know. Mm-hmm. And he walked out of the room and started to walk towards, you know, the hallway, and God told him to turn around and go back and pray for this guy, you know. And so he kind of ignored it, you know, like, you know, I've already pronounced this guy dead, you know. And so then he walked a little bit further, and God said, I said to go back and pray for this guy. So he walks back in, and the nurse is, you know, preparing this guy because he had passed, you know. And he laid his hands on his chest, you know, and he started praying. He said, you know, God, if this man doesn't know you, please bring him back so he has a chance to know you as his personal Savior. You know, and the nurse prayed with him. And all of a sudden, he took a gasp and he came back to life.
Wow.
You know, and this guy testified to it. And he said that, and then they interviewed the man, and the man, you know, right there, the doctor prayed with this man.
Wow.
And won him to the Lord. But he said he'd never had ever had anything like that happen to him before.
That's, I believe in raising the dead. I do. Go ahead.
I just thought that was, you know, because of what we're talking about. I just happened to see it
this week.
And I was, like I said, I was flipping through the channels.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, he said he'd never, ever had anything like that happen to where the Lord had told him to go back and pray for someone.
And see, there's the key right there. Mm-hmm. There's the key right there. These jokers, Mike, you know what I'm going to tell right now. Mike, I was one of the most spiritually astute and knows his Bible so well. But this one day, Mike told me about this former pastor of his who was a Word of Faith guy. And, you know, they teach you that you should exercise your faith, you know, starting small and build up. Well, he was wanting to raise the dead. Now, see, right there is the problem. You know, he's wanting to raise the dead so everybody can look at him and say, ooh, ain't he God's man of faith and power? Okay, but this guy, to start practicing, his dog died. And Mike told me he was out dragging his dog, dead dog, around the front yard with a leash on it. And I chuckled a little bit. I said, Mike, you got to be kidding me, man. He said, no, he preached this, Pastor. I believe I got the tape. And as hard as I am on people who preach false doctrine, I'm thinking, well, he might have said something like that as a joke or something. But you know, and I know Mike, he loves the Lord, but maybe he just took him a little out of context. But Mike got me a tape of this guy's CD. And here this joker is on there bragging about to build his faith. He's just bragging on it. I put that leash around Rover's neck and I was dragging him around the front yard in the name of Jesus. Because I wanted to start off on a dog to work my way up to a human and raising the dead. And he's got a big church, don't he, Mike? Yeah. Up in, where is it?
Botkins.
Where? Botkins. Yeah, I guess it's about what, 500-600 people or something? Now think of that. Really believing, you know, that by him but the key was what Paula said, that doctor. God spoke to his heart and said, you go pray for him. It didn't originate with him. The prayer did not originate with him. The prompting came from the Holy Spirit. Jesus even said, I do nothing unless I see my Father do it first. If you understand what he was really saying there in his incarnate human tabernacle, although he was all man and all God, he was saying, the Holy Spirit guides me onto whom I'm to pray for. Not everybody got healed when Jesus walked the earth. Do y'all know that? Not everybody got healed then. There were a number of healings recorded that we don't have in Scripture. John said that. He said the books of the world couldn't contain it. Of all Jesus, but it was Luke, I'm sorry. Of all Jesus both begin to do and teach. Okay? But he said, I do nothing unless I see my Father. And he was our example. He was our substitute man. And that's the and that beautiful story Paula told. And thank you for sharing that, Paula. That's the key. If God tells you to go pray for somebody and raise them from the dead, it'll happen if it's the Holy Spirit. If you're just doing it because you want to look like you're more powerful than everybody else and a little bit closer to God than everybody else, or you're wanting to practice on your dog or something like that, I remember years back some people, somebody died, some religious leader. It was in Zanesville, Ohio. And they left him laying in that church for like about 4 months because they kept believing God had told him he was going to raise him from the dead. It was a big church in Zanesville, because I remember all of us were chuckling about it. Finally, they buried him. But see the foolishness people get into if you don't look at divine healing from the right perspective. It leads to a lot of foolishness and a lot of error and a lot of disappointment when God don't perform the way we humans think he ought to perform. Let's close on this. He will do it. He will do it. When and where is up to him. Our job is just to believe him and keep our faith in him. Amen. It's been a great class. Would you stand? We'll go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the balanced truth that you have given us, Lord Jesus, that when we look at the whole of your word, we will never go into error. You'll always lead us right. The word will lead us right. Lord, I believe we're going to leave this subject of divine healing and go on to something new next week. But I pray in some way these preceding weeks that truth has been ingrained into your people in this beautiful realm of divine healing. Lord, we claim tonight in the name of Jesus without a shadow of doubt, by your stripes we are healed, and by your stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. To your blessed name, we thank you for the cross one more time tonight. Go with us now. Keep our church in your hand. Keep us anchored in the great truth of Christ crucified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.